The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Sif Hyder, the founder of Array. I'm a wellness entrepreneur and digital creator, and this is my show, the Dream Bigger Podcast. Listen, I love dreaming big, but you know what I love more? Actually having the resources to make those big dreams happen. And hey, dreams can sometimes be private jets, but other times they can look a little something like having the best skin of your damn life, or starting a successful business, or delving into spirituality. So on this podcast, I chat with experts and thought leaders from different fields about their tips and tricks on doing exactly that. So let's get right into it.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Dream Bigger Podcast. Now, when I came out of today's interview, I literally got into the car and told Mackenzie, who is our EA, that this was one of my favorite podcast interviews that I've done. And the reason is because I learned so much. My God, I learned so much. And I went and I applied as much as I could immediately. This is an episode that you are actually going to want to take notes for because there is so much in there. So today's guest is Helen Reavy. She is the co-founder of Acton Acre, and she is a trichologist with like 20 years of experience. It is actually wild. Today's episode is all about healthy hair, okay? So she gives us tangible tips on how to care for our scalp, what we can do with various problems that we may have with hair. It is such a good episode. And my favorite part was her 5-step wash routine, which is honestly life-changing, let me tell you. I mean, I don't want to ruin this episode, but there's just so much that I want to get into, including her scalp serum, which I started to use, and it is phenomenal. Anyway, this episode is so value-packed. You guys are all going to have the healthiest hair ever if you apply what she says. And let me tell you, her hair looks incredible. So clearly what she's doing works. Before we get into today's show, I want to bring you this week's review, which comes to us from Nicole Elizabeth, 1992. And she says, Sif is my queen. I live for solo episodes and I am requesting a granular look into keeping the house tidy. I love the 10-minute micro clean and I would love details on how you stay on top of keeping a clean home. If a housekeeper is involved, I would love deets on that too. This is seriously my favorite pod and has truly added so much value into my life, especially around how to set goals and work towards them. This is a very, very sweet review, Nicole. I really appreciate it. And you know, you guys, if you do have a couple of minutes, I so appreciate you taking the time to leave the podcast a rating and a review. All you have to do is open up the Apple Podcast app, scroll down to where it says rate and review the show. And in the rating section, if you feel like I've earned it, please leave me a 5-star rating. And in the review section, honestly, any feedback is so welcome. Tell me what topics you like, guest requests, favorite topics from the past. Any feedback is something that I take so seriously. And my goal is always to show up here and continue to provide more and more value. So I really would appreciate if you took 2 seconds to write that review and leave me the rating. Now, Nicole, to answer your question, I'll actually do a full breakdown on my keeping the house tidy. But what I do is every single night before bed, as you commented, I do a 10-minute micro cleanup, which kind of makes sure that everything is tidy. And then on Sundays, I do also a cleanup. So, you know, putting the dishes away, like kind of like doing a clean on my own. And then I have a housekeeper come once a week on Thursday. And I absolutely adore her. She's made our lives so much better. And she's like a part of our family now. So that's kind of the tips and tricks. But I think even if you do have a housekeeper and you aren't doing, unless you have someone come every day, obviously that's different. We have our housekeeper come once a week. But if I'm not actively also participating in making sure that the home is tidy, making sure I'm putting the dishes away on Sunday, doing like a little bit of a deeper clean, then the house just isn't going to stay tidy. It's so easy for it to become messy. In fact,
today is the day that our housekeeper is supposed to come. And I was neglectful of, you know, tidying up yesterday just because Nish and I were so tired and the house looks like a mess already. And it's been one day. So I can get into all of this in full detail on, you know, a full length episode, obviously, like in a solo. But I hope that this gave you a little bit of details into what that's like. All right. With that, let's welcome Helen to the Dream Bigger podcast.
So I want to actually start by talking about something we were just talking about, which is essentially like things hit the internet and it's like a whole trend on social media. So the most recent thing that hit TikTok was this tutorial where a celebrity, she wet her entire head and then put a hair mask and then tied her hair into a slick back bun. So tell us what you think of that, because from what I know, that can cause breakage. But obviously, I want to hear from the expert.
Yes. And actually, I know exactly who you're talking about. I did comment on this here, but not in like a negative way. There's nothing wrong with what she's doing and that might suit her hair. And also, it's okay to do that once in a while, maybe once a week or something.
Mm-hmm. With a hair mask
or oils or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you might want to wear it for the day, but you want to make sure you're rinsing that mask out afterwards. And the reason why is it can lead to a thing called high growth fatigue, which is too much moisture in the hair. And what it'll do is flash dry the hair and start to like lose a lot of the moisture and stuff. But also when the hair is wet, it's more elastic. So it stretches, and that's, you're right in saying that it can't be broken. So nothing wrong with what she did or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, really easy way to leave a hair mask in for the day, but I just wouldn't recommend doing it every day.
So then if someone is wearing a hair mask, how long do you recommend even keeping it on?
Well, a hair mask, you can leave it in for the day if you uh-huh. want to. But optimal results would be after you shampooed, because the cuticle's open, it allows a hair mask to penetrate uh-huh. more. And then if you can, if you're in a gym and you have a steam room or a sauna or something like that, mm-hmm. or at home, you can wrap it and get the heat in. It's really good to add the heat to it. So 20 minutes is like the perfect amount of time to just moisture the hair, or like an hour. Something like that, up to an hour.
Oh, I did not know that heat actually helps with that.
It really does.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I want to use a mask before, like say I want this like optimal like 20, 30 minutes of hair mask in my hair, but I just don't have the patience to do it in the shower, then is it okay to dampen my hair and then do it before my shower, but like wrap it in like saran wrap or something like that?
Yes, absolutely. And the heat will help open the cuticle, uh-huh. but also dampening your hair before also helps it penetrate. Because if your hair is, you know, low porosity, it's not going to penetrate the hair at all. You need to have washed it.
Okay, explain what low porosity is. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, low porosity is when, you know, you notice that oils and waters don't penetrate the hair, they sit on top of it and they really don't get in under it or hydrate the hair properly. It's usually very straight hair will be like this here. And then you have like a medium porosity, which is the perfect amount mm-hmm. where the product will penetrate easier. The oil will absorb, you know, faster, stuff like that there. Mm-hmm. And like low porosity hair won't dry very fast either. It'll take hours to dry. And then you've got the high porosity hair, which is, you know, people who've done a lot of color processing, a lot of chemical processing in their hair, mm-hmm. or it can also be very curly, coily hair as well, can be low porosity. Mm-hmm. It just absorbs the oil like super fast.
Got it. Can you tell by looking at someone's hair if it's low or high porosity?
Yes.
Okay, what
yours
is
a medium porosity.
Okay.
Yes.
You're smack on, actually.
Yeah. You can tell. And again, it's like you're not like really straight hair. You've got a slight wave. Uh-huh. It's like mine would be medium porosity, verging on the low porosity, probably on the ends because of the chemical processing.
Yeah.
And there could be areas of your hair that's a bit more, or sorry, high porosity, uh-huh. where you've maybe got a little bit of color in it. But with your natural, definitely medium, which is perfect.
So then basically, if I wet it and then put a mask, that's
yeah,
good?
That's totally fine.
Okay, so before we started chatting on air, you were talking about a 5-step hair wash routine. Tell us about that.
Yes, because you said you only wash your hair once a week. So, yeah. So you definitely do about 5 steps, right?
Tell me everything.
Well, the reason why I say that is because, and I use a lot of the analogy, your face or your scalp is an extension of your face. Mm-hmm. And would you go like 5, 6, 7 days without washing it? No.
No.
Exactly.
But oh, gosh.
I'm not saying you have to wash your hair that often.
Okay.
But think of it in that way. So if you left your skin for 5, 6 days, uh-huh. you'd really want to start with like an oil cleanser to break down any makeup, any kind of like pollution, dirt that's in there. Because even under a microscope, after one day, you can see little specks of dust if you're living in like a high polluted city and stuff. So you'd want to break that down, then go in with your cleanse. I would recommend, if you've left that long, probably a double to triple cleanse, because mm-hmm. on a normal kind of like 2 to 3 days, I'd recommend a double cleanse. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you really want to make sure that the skin on the scalp is really clean. And you know that by the second to third shampoo, you're getting a really good lather. Mm-hmm. If you're getting a lather in the first shampoo and you've left your scalp for 7 days, there's probably things in that shampoo that shouldn't be there.
Right. No, I don't get a lather in the first one. Nope. It's so always like the second or third.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just wait until you get that. And then the final, and I'm not talking about the hair here, I'm talking about more of the scalp. The final stage of that is some form of a scalp serum, like a hydrating serum, something with some active ingredients like skincare ingredients, like stem cells or peptides, caffeine, ginseng, those kind of things to stimulate the scalp, but also some hyaluronic acid, other kind of hydrating ingredients that mm-hmm. will keep the skin on the scalp hydrated and optimal environment for hair growth. And it's like when you wash your skin, like you wouldn't just leave it without putting a serum or moisturizer on mm-hmm. it. We're doing that constantly and we're stripping our scalp constantly and we need to put some of that moisture back in.
So I really like that you talk about scalp health, because I think typically when people are talking about hair, it's like hair health. And the first thing is, okay, you're definitely using like, you know, a leave-in conditioner, for example, for your hair. But people aren't really talking about the importance of scalp serums, because I don't know, I just don't think it's like really pervaded the public quite yet. So tell us about the scalp serum that you recommend.
Mm-hmm. And like that really goes back to why I started my company, Act mm-hmm. an Acre, because it was really to disrupt an industry that was so focused on the ends of the hair.
Yeah.
And yes, we need that as well. But I really understood that it all begins with the scalp. And that's why I created, you know, a line of daily and weekly scalp treatments, both pre-shower and after. Mm-hmm. And our apple stem cell serum is our hero product. That's the one I recommended after the shower mm-hmm. because it just has the high quality ingredients in it, the active ingredients that you get in skincare. And mm-hmm. The apple stem cells are incredible because they're clinically proven to reduce hair shedding. But also what apple stem cells do are they speed up the cell turnover on the skin. So I kind of refer to it as nature's retinoid in a way, but it's super anti-inflammatory, hydrating, and just keeps that cell turnover. So when your skin on your scalp 8 to 6 times faster than your face, like I don't really love using the word anti-aging, but this is an anti-aging product in a way, and why we should be concerned about our scalp, not for cosmetic reasons, mm-hmm. but more because we lose moisture. We lose a lot of ability to kind of like keep healthy hair, keep healthy skin as we age. And that leads to hair shedding, premature graying, and sometimes hair loss.
Wow. Okay. This is really, really fascinating. So if someone does have like thinning hair essentially in the mm-hmm. scalp, something like this would help it?
Absolutely. Now there is a 360 approach. So, and you know all about this, the nutrients of the body. Like as a trichologist, we really understand how important nutrition is as well. So when I talk about all the scalp products, I'm always talking about nutrition and how important that is. So healthy microbiome, both gut and scalp, and making sure you're getting the right nutrients, the right vitamins, because if you're one mineral short, then unfortunately your hair, your nails are the last to get it. Mm-hmm. So making sure internally you're getting that first. There's sometimes hormonal issues or genetic issues, but then we can be taking care of the skin on the scalp as well. It's so important kind of to take that 360 approach, but it really can make a huge difference in the hair growing.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you're saying is really, it's so important, because I don't think that you can care for any one thing in isolation of mm-hmm. like looking at the whole body essentially. And I noticed for myself, as I started to up my protein intake, I noticed that my hair got like thicker and I started to notice less hair falling as well. Is that a thing that you
see?
That
is, and I'll explain that. Mm-hmm. So when people take hair vitamins, for example, they're taking them for the biotin, and biotin is there to break down protein into amino acids. Mm-hmm. So our hair is made up of dead protein, and it's just a chain of amino acids. So that's why you need to be, if somebody's having, you know, issues with biotin, say, for example, breakout in their skin, they're not noticing a difference, it's because they don't have enough protein in their diet. Yes,
wow.
I know. Protein and water, because if biotin doesn't have a protein to break down, then where does it go? It starts to affect other parts of the body. So you do need extra protein, and it does make a big difference.
Wow, that's actually fascinating, because a lot of people take biotin supplements and then they're like, oh, I'm having like severe breakouts. And what you're saying is true. And I think especially with women, we tend to be so protein deficient. Yes. I think like just conversation around protein intake is just starting to surface for women specifically, mm-hmm. because up until, you know, recently it was like all the guys were talking about protein and all of that. But now finally women are starting to talk about it too. And it's really interesting that you say this about biotin because it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. And intuitive eating is like something that I think a lot of people are understanding, realizing that, okay, my body needs this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Here is my evening routine when I'm really looking to get the best sleep ever. Okay. So, when I come back from the gym, that's around 6 p.m., I come home, I make my dinner, and then after I'm done eating my dinner and I just want to kind of maybe hang out, watch a few YouTube videos or sit in front of my TV for a bit, I get into my Boncharge sauna blanket and I just chill in there for like 30 to 40 minutes. Now, if you aren't familiar with Boncharge, this is a company that I'm obsessed with because it is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way possible. It's founded on science and inspired by nature, and all Boncharge products adopt ancestral ways of living in our modern-day world, and their extensive range of wellness products really help us sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. Honestly, the list goes on. And as I've mentioned, I am a huge fan of their infrared sauna blanket. So, the great thing about the blanket is that, first of all, like a sauna routine and a sauna blanket should be a part of your routine because it works by raising your heart rate to that of physical exercise. So it burns calories while you relax. So you can burn up to 600 calories in just one session. Also, sweating really helps flush out heavy metals and other toxins, and infrared heat and elevating your heart rate while relaxing releases endorphins, which can leave you feeling really euphoric after your session. So that's why I love using this before I sleep, because I just lay in it for 30 to 40 minutes. I'm chilling and watching TV. And then after I've gotten my sweat in, I go shower and I honestly have the best sleep ever, because our bodies should be kind of like warm when we're going to bed. So it really does help. The great thing about the Boncharge sauna blanket is that it heats up really quickly. It is actually the quickest on the market. It's super easy to clean. So you just wipe it down with a damp cloth. It's sleek, it's lightweight. It has low EMFs compared to other brands, and it also has the highest temperatures compared to other brands. Also, the setup process was really quick and easy, which is obviously something that's important because I don't want to spend hours and hours setting up the device. Boncharge has an offer for you guys. First, they ship worldwide in rapid time and offer free shipping on every sauna blanket with no hidden costs. They offer easy returns and exchanges with a 30-day free trial and 12-month warranty. All you have to do is go to boncharge.com/dreambigger and use coupon code DREAMBIGGER to save 15%. That's boncharge.com/dreambigger and use coupon code DREAMBIGGER to save 15%. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Will Cole. As a leading functional medicine practitioner, I have had the unique position to see so many alchemize their pain and health problems to their purpose. Now I want the same for you. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers, where there is a fresh infusion of grace and lightness into wellness. This is the art of being well. Join me every Thursday for a new episode.
So talk to me about gray hair. Like if someone is getting gray hair, what can they do? Is there anything that they can do, or is it just kind of something that you can't really help?
Well, I'm very pro-gray.
Okay.
The reason why my husband actually has the most gorgeous like gray white hair, because he went that color when he's 16. Now that's genetics.
Yeah, that's genetics, of course.
That's genetics.
Yeah.
So a lot of it to do is genetics. And a fun fact, there's no such thing as gray hair. It's actually translucent.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
So the level of gray, when you say someone like a salt and pepper or, you know, their white hair, that's to do with the ratio of their natural hair to the translucent hair. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, it's lost all its melanin. Mm-hmm. And it's the same what happens with our skin. As we get older, we lose a little bit more melanin, elasticity, things like that. So there are things you can do, definitely taking care of the scalp because we want to keep that moisture in there. Mm-hmm. But then there are other supplements, you know, again, it's nutrition, making sure that you're getting the nutrients and stuff to stop premature graying. And same way as you take care of your skin to stop it aging, it's taking care of your scalp the same way.
Do you, like, is stress-related translucent hair a real thing?
Absolutely. And it's because the cortisol levels in the body send messages to the hair growth hormone. Mm-hmm. And it's either hair growth or, you know, can cause other aging issues, just the same way as it causes it in any other part of your body.
Okay, so we got to keep our stress under control.
Exactly. Lots of breath work and meditation.
It's so funny. So my husband is my co-founder and he runs so like he's just like a very like high stress person when things happen. He's just very reactive. And I'm like, Nish, at this point, you're getting gray nose hairs and we just need to like reel it in. We need to like take a breath in the morning before we jump into meetings. This is insane. So yeah, okay. I have to tell him. Yeah.
Definitely. Get those cortisol levels down. And there are supplements to do that as well and help the reaction to the body. But it'll help his hair growth in the long term as well, you know.
If he balds, I'm going to be devastated.
Oh, you just use Actin Anchor, you'll be fine.
There we go. Okay, this is the solution. Okay, so I want to talk about ideal hair wash schedule because obviously for me, I've said to you that I do it once a week. Is that too little? Like, give me your expert opinion.
Okay, so it is like the $1 million question and it's not a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And when I'm talking to like, you know, certain clients or people through DMs and stuff about, you know, how often should you wash your hair? Because that is a really hot topic. And even for us in our content, it's the one that performs so well. Everybody wants to know how often you should wash your hair. So it really starts out with, like, say, for example, I'll use your scalp and hair as an example. You got beautiful, thick, healthy hair. I don't see anything, any major issues. Looking at your scalp from here doesn't seem to be a huge issue or anything. But if you had dandruff, my advice would be completely different.
Really?
So if you have different scalp issues and hair loss issues, it would be completely different. Mm-hmm. If your hair was finer, it would also be different. I'm like, just wash your hair as often as you need to or want to, depending on your lifestyle and your schedule.
Okay.
Like if you're living in a city like New York where there's so much pollution, you're possibly working out a lot more. Your stress levels are through the roof. So cortisol levels, and that actually comes out in sebum in your scalp, blocking a lot of follicles and stuff. And you've seen this trend of, you know, training your hair to not be oily. That's a complete myth.
Really?
So you cannot train your hair. You're just going to produce the natural amount of oil that you're meant to. Now, if you're producing oil, say 10 hours later, like a lot, there's usually a hormonal imbalance or there's a product buildup, like a silicone buildup on your hair. So it's really finding the right products for your hair in that situation. But if you're oily, say after like 2 days, that's completely normal. But if you have dandruff or, you know, something like that going on with the scalp, this is really interesting because a lot of people don't realize this. There's a fungus on the scalp called Malatia, and that feeds off the oils in our scalp. So as soon as you start sweating or as soon as you start producing oil, which is typically after the 20 to 24 hour period, then it starts to feed off that. So the longer you leave it, the worse it gets. And then all hair products like conditioners, leave-in oils, leave-in conditioners all have lipids in it. So then you're putting that on top of the hair when you wash it and that's actually creating a worse environment.
Okay, this is fascinating. So if someone has dandruff, what should they be doing? And like what products break down everything?
Yes. So you really do need to wash your hair every 24 hours. So that's every day.
With shampoo?
With shampoo. Look for something with a salicylic acid in it because that's antifungal. That also helps with hair growth, things like that as well.
Do you have a favorite product for that?
There are a few brands that do the salicylic acid in it. I believe Briogeo, Way have it. There's another brand called Jupiter, but they don't use, I don't think they use salicylic acid, but it's pretty easy to find If you go into any of your Sephora's, you're going to see like an area just with these kind of products.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a Scalp Renew, which has a salicylic acid. So it's a pre-wash treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be like before you get into the shower. And then you can use your regular shampoo. What I would avoid, any hydrating shampoos. But here's where we kind of come to a complicated issue is like a lot of people think they have dandruff and they have dry scalp. And what they do is they go and use anti-dandruff products and they dry out their scalp even more.
Mm.
And they need the hydrating products. And then some people think they have dry scalp and they actually have dandruff. And
how they're can you making tell the it difference? Worse.
Typically with dry scalp, you'll get like larger white flakes that will just come off, but it won't be completely covering the whole scalp.
Huh.
But with dandruff, it's a lot of layers of skin cells.
Yeah.
Mixed in with a little bit of sebum, so it's more of a yellowy tone to it. And when you wash it, kind of goes away, but 24 hours later, it's back. Whereas dry scalp shouldn't be coming back that often.
Wow, this is really, really, really interesting stuff. Okay, so you talked about silicone buildup, okay? Talk to me about what that feels like.
So silicone buildup has like a waxy residue to it. And it depends on the type of silicone used as well. So there's different levels. They're not always equal.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are water soluble. Some of them aren't. They're an incredible ingredient if you live like in a very humid environment and you want straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or if you want to style your hair in a certain way. But if you're using it every day, it's a, we call it like a raincoat. It's blocking any water or moisture getting in, which the hair needs. Just like a plant that needs water. And the feeling of it is that waxy residue, the hair doesn't blow dry properly. You feel like your hair is greasy, especially underneath here when you get out of the shower. Feels like it's not washed properly and mm-hmm. it's getting oily very fast. So a lot of people who think they have oily scalp actually have silicone buildup.
So I love that you say this because back when I was in high school, okay, and this is before like social media, it was just like the information just wasn't out there.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, one fine day, I wake up and I have like this like waxy, like sticky texture on my head. And I kept washing it and nothing was happening. And so I went down this hole on the internet and I realized that it was like, they said that it was like excess sebum buildup on account of like certain products.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped using... Oh my gosh, what's the ingredient that I'm thinking? There's like an ingredient in many shampoos essentially that like people are like can be allergic to. It's a silicone-based ingredient. I forget the name.
Not dimethicone?
Maybe,
or PEG?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. One,
but yeah, I like stopped using it and then
it went away. I think I know the exact product you were using because
yeah.
everyone was using that product. And even when I worked in the salon, this was like 15, 16 years ago, people would be coming in and... You could just like see it straight away. And I can see it instantly in someone when it's a silicone buildup.
Oh, now I use sulfate free. That's what I was told to do, to go sulfate free.
Okay.
And so like apparently that what causes silicone buildup sometimes?
I don't think it's sulfates because sulfates are designed to clean engines. So
they
will clean anything off your scalp. That's why they can be super irritating to the scalp and why you see a lot of them not used now.
Interesting.
Because there would be salts in it as well that just leave the cuticle lying open. But it's typically anything ending in cone is a silicone.
Yeah, so it was so bad, Helen. Like, I cannot even tell you. Like, I'd be insecure about going to school because it was out of nowhere. And my mom couldn't tell me what was wrong. And at that time, you know, you go to your mom if anything is wrong. And she's like, I don't know. Like, maybe just wash your hair again. I'm like, I've washed it. I've washed it six times today alone. You know?
I remember like we would advise people this years ago. It was terrible to use like dishwashing soap to get it out of the hair. It's the only thing that would work to get it out. Another trick is you put dry shampoo in mm-hmm. and then you get into the shower.
Yeah.
And that will hopefully soak up a lot of the oils and stuff. And these are all fashion week tips that we would do. You know, a girl would come from a show.
Yeah.
She would have so much oil in her hair and, you know, wax and all this hair. And you put dry shampoo into it and then you shampoo it.
Okay. So if someone is dealing with this silicone buildup, that's the trick. Dry shampoo and straight to wash.
Yeah. Dry shampoo, straight to wash and try a clarifying shampoo.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. Okay. So is it possible to overuse clarifying shampoos?
Absolutely. They should only be used like once a week, once a fortnight, depending on, you know, what's going on with your scalp and hair. I use it a lot just to kind of like remove stuff like that, give more volume. But they typically have chelating ingredients in it and salt. So it leaves the hair open and susceptible to damage. Really great at removing a lot of stuff, but mm-hmm. that's when like you shouldn't use it that often.
So if you are using it first, like what is the ideal amount to use it? Do you even recommend that people have it as part of their routine? And if they do, then what do they do right after?
So I would recommend it like maybe once a fortnight or once a month, mm-hmm. as long as you're using like a good scalp treatment as well. And then you're using a hydrating shampoo afterwards.
Okay.
So you're using the first shampoo to remove and then you're putting some moisture back in and protecting the hair and then using a really good hair mask afterwards.
Okay, cool. And then you wash off the hair mask, correct?
Wash off the hair mask.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
I have been on my protein grind, okay? Now, I've been doing this since last year. I've been really particular about how much protein I eat because I've noticed that it helps with everything from the way I'm building muscles and how I'm able to obviously like progress at the gym, but also everything from my satiety to my energy levels. Now, one of the hardest things about getting enough protein in is obviously the amount of food that you have to eat. So, last year, I found out about the Keon aminos, and I had Angelo Keeley, who's the founder of Keon, on my podcast. And what he told me about the aminos kind of blew my mind. Essentially, aminos are the thing that your body processes when it's eating protein. So it's the thing that's like fueling your body. So all proteins kind of have an amino acid profile. Animal proteins have a fully complete amino profile. And that's what the Keon amino blend gives you. It is the highest quality amino blend on the market, and you can use it in different ways. Angelo gets into exactly what that is on our episode. But what I like to do is put it in my water when I'm going to the gym because it helps you with your performance while you're at the gym. It's the craziest thing. You're actually able to lift more and just perform much better. And this is not a myth because I told Nish about it and now he's out here stealing all my Keon amino blends. He loves the lime one and he constantly puts like scoops and scoops of it in his water before he goes to the gym. It tastes really, really good. You guys know I'm always a fan of constantly up-leveling when it comes to health and wellness. So this product is an absolute life changer. It helps with everything from building muscle to increasing energy levels. And it's something that I take every day. It fits really seamlessly into my routine. And it's been backed with over 20 years of clinical research. It tastes amazing with all natural flavors. It's non-GMO, sugar-free, and 100% vegan. I could not be more excited to be partnering with Keon. It's a brand that I'm absolutely obsessed with. And they have an incredible offer for you. So to save 20%, go to getkeon.com/dream. That's GETKION.com/dream to get my fundamental supplement for fitness, Keon Aminos.
Talk to me about, like, how do you style your hair by minimizing heat damage? Like, what do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've done a lot of this here, like heatless waves,
uh-huh.
which isn't so easy in the winter and you need to dry your hair. Like today, I did not do that, you know.
Your hair looks great, my gosh.
But I will, if it's in the summer or, you know, the weather's a little better, I will get it to about 50% dry and then I'll part my hair and I will twist it mm-hmm. and it just takes on a natural wave.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'll do is I'll let it dry as much as possible so mm-hmm. there's less heat and then I'll blow dry it. And then always keep your tools at under 380. That's very important. So GHD back in like years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, they've put a lot of money into, you know, research into hair because they have like a flat iron.
Mm-hmm.
And the optimal heat is below 380. And that's how you retain the elasticity. You don't lose too much moisture and obviously not doing it too many days in a row. And another tip is, and a lot of people don't realize this, if you're on like day three hair and you want to freshen it up and you've already used like your hair dryer and your flat iron or your curling iron on day one or day two, and you go to day three or day four and you want to touch that up with heat.
Mm-hmm.
So the hair is already in like a broken kind of state, because when you wash it, the bonds break and then you dry it into that state again. So it's, they're kind of fragile.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put more heat on that, the bonds break again. And so you're stretching the hair even more. So it's actually better for you to wash your hair and reapply heat to it, because you're freshening up the hair and you're bringing the bonds back.
That is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the Dyson Airwrap? Do you find that the heat damage is less than a traditional blow dryer?
So I don't use it at mm-hmm. all. It's like, it feels like fake for me as a hairstylist to use it. It's like someone else doing my job. I just never got into it.
Oh my gosh.
But no, I'm sure like they have done a lot of research into this here. And
yeah.
I hear mixed reviews, but it, to me, it looks like it's much better, because you're getting that curl without having to do the hairdryer plus curling iron, you know?
Yeah, I personally...
Which is definitely much better.
I love mine. It's like yeah. the... Because I just never learned to properly blow dry my hair. I could never do it, Helen.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And then as soon as I came upon that, I was like, wait, what? This actually works. So I'm obsessed with mine. But what I do on day three or four when I need a curl, instead mm-hmm. of doing the whole iron, what I do is then I put it in the heatless curl. And
oh,
I don't
brilliant.
I don't need to, like, I didn't need to dampen it even. Like, I just did it and it mm-hmm. stayed somehow. And I was like, okay, great. This is like another 2 days.
Well, your hair has a memory. So when you've done that on the first day, mm-hmm. as long as you're doing it from wet to that state, which
yeah.
you are with the dryer,
uh-huh.
it'll hold that memory. And yeah. yeah, it might fall and lose a little bit. But once you wrap that again, it's just going to remember that.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant, because this was my first time trying a heatless wave. This was like last week, actually, because I was like, there's no way this is going to work. And I was like the biggest, yeah, like...
You have the perfect hair for it.
It honestly, like the next day, I could not believe it. I was like, it looks like I just Dysoned my hair again. Like, this is unbelievable. It. And it stayed for like another 2 days. So it was the longest that I've gone without having to put my hair in a bun. So I was like, this is amazing.
I need to try this.
It's, yeah. yeah. I mean, if we have similar hair, then mm-hmm. I feel like we're in the same
yeah,
boat.
Totally. No, mine does actually curl so easily. So it does.
You know which one I tried is, I don't know if you saw this. It's like on TikTok that I like came up. Is like the three rods and you like do three layers.
Oh, no. But you have to send me that.
Oh, my gosh. It's brilliant. Because I've never done like the one
the
that
full
you're...
one?
No, this was the only yeah. one. It's like three rods. They're like medium size and you wrap it. It's so cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'll have to send you what I'm talking about.
Do you remember when it first came, the trend
yes.
first happened? It was a sock.
Yes, I remember.
And then I love that somebody just jumped on the trend and created this product. It was genius.
So smart. But like the sock, I was like, I don't even know how to figure this out. So this one seemed like the most simple version and the one that I could get behind.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll just do it. And it's been great.
Well, we used to get rags in our hair. So like rags is like pieces of material.
Uh-huh.
So when we did Irish dancing as children uh-huh. or you had a special event, you'd have these curls in your hair.
Yeah.
And so mom would just take like the piece of material and just wrap it up. And that's how you went to bed at night.
Wow.
So this was like...
This is the
way
more advanced, and it's like the more advanced version
yes,
of exactly,
exactly
what you guys have been doing.
Also, it was really uncomfortable going to sleep with that, so this sounds way better.
It is definitely. I think we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was this whole clean girl aesthetic trend where like everyone was putting their hair into the sleek back buns, and that was like the vibe. And then people started to talk about the fact that if you do that every single day, you start to bald. Is that
yes.
true?
It is. It's a thing called traction alopecia.
Mm-hmm.
So traction alopecia comes from pulling. You see a lot of it with people that are wearing very tight hairstyles, or also people that wear a lot of protective hairstyles, because there's a lot of pulling with the braiding and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just putting consistent pressure mm-hmm. on the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And each strand of hair is actually as strong as a piece of copper. So you imagine like it's not just going to come out with brushing or anything like that, but putting constant strain on that, it will.
So essentially like you don't want to pull it back. Like can you do it one, two times a week?
Yeah, a couple of times a week, or try to go for a looser style. When you do take it down, make sure you're massaging, getting that blood flow back.
Okay.
That's really important.
Okay, I mean, this is a good reminder for me because I like love the look of a slicked back bun.
Yeah, and I mean, like everything in moderation, right?
Yeah, it's like a natural facelift. I'm
yeah.
like, I want this. This looks so good.
It does look good.
But I'm definitely trying to be more wary, and I do it like now like 1 to 2 times a week versus like before I'd do it like 4 or 5 days a week. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I should probably not be doing mm-hmm. this.
And I mean, if you have much finer strands of hair, it's probably a little bit harder for you, you know, but you've got thicker strands, so you probably get away with it a little bit more.
Yeah, but I'm trying to be better about mm-hmm. it. Okay, so I want to move on to audience questions because we got a bunch of them. So the first question is, what's a good hair care routine for someone with oily hair? So the person who asked this, she said that she has oily hair even on second day of shower, even when they're using a detox shampoo once a week.
Okay. So first off, the detox shampoo might be drying you out a bit too much. So again, if you have like oily skin, mm-hmm. what's very good to balance that is oil.
Yeah.
So if you're stripping that a lot, then the skin is going into overdrive to produce more oil. And there are things in your diet you can change, like make sure you don't have too many saturated fats. What else is there? Salicylic acid. So like I said earlier, Scalp Renew is really good. Mm-hmm. It's got antifungal properties, but it also balances oil. So same way you would use maybe salicylic acid cleanser on your face to balance the oil, same thing on the scalp. But again, oil balances oil. So we do have a scalp detox, which is really good as well. Double shampooing. And that, what did she say? On the second day she has oil?
Yeah.
So just check for silicones as well. It is normal, depending on your, if you've got very fine hair, it would be normal to see oil after, you know, by the second day anyway, mm-hmm. and that's okay. But just avoid using stripping ingredients. It's probably making it a little bit worse, and see if it helps balance it a little bit more.
So then do you recommend if someone does have oily hair to like wash it every single day or once every other day?
Yeah, I mean, wash it every day if that's how it feels for you. Like if my hair was oily, I just love to feel clean.
Yeah.
And I love volume in my hair. So if it's like day two, by day three, I start to feel like my hair's flat. I don't really get that oily because I feel like I've just do everything possible so my scalp is so balanced. Mm-hmm. But for other people starting on this journey, start with something that's going to balance the oil. Get the right shampoo. Test different shampoos for you. Don't use hydrating shampoos either. Mm-hmm. You want to get a balancing shampoo, one that you can use daily.
Okay, amazing. Is rosemary oil worth the hype?
So rosemary oil is very good at stimulating the blood flow, mm-hmm. but it's typically done before the shower and left in for 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it will help stimulate the blood flow, but you would need to leave it in for a long time for it to really work on the scalp. But just general, like oiling the scalp is removing kind of that dead skin, getting that blood flow. Anything that does that is always going to help with a, you know, longevity of hair, getting your hair to grow in its healthiest state. And I love that people are doing this. I'm not like so sure that it's the rosemary itself, as mm-hmm. opposed to the effort of putting it in, hydrating the scalp, removing, and then getting that blood flow to the scalp. Because when you're massaging it in, you're creating that blood flow as well.
Is there a specific oil that you've seen which is like really, really good for hair growth, like one specific oil or no?
So we actually have a scalp detox oil, mm-hmm. which removes, but it also has stimulating properties in it. So we have basil leaf extract, which mm-hmm. is really stimulating for blood flow. So again, like the rosemary oil, it's more about prepping the scalp for hair growth. What really gets the hair to grow is the final step. So the scalp serum that you're putting on afterwards, our stem cell serum that has, you know, the stem cells to really help kind of increase that blood flow, keep the inflammation down and get that cell turnover going. Plus it's a leave-on product. You're not rinsing that out. So it has more time on the scalp, but it is important to do all the steps. So like a weekly scalp oiling or scalp exfoliant. Another thing I'm going to say is avoid scalp scrubs. They're too harsh. If you wouldn't use it on your face, don't use it on your scalp. That's why a salicylic acid or any of those kind of acids, AHAs, that work really well at gently exfoliating mm-hmm. are much better. They're going to be much more gentle on the scalp. So definitely one of those per week, and then using like a scalp serum every single time you wash your hair.
Have you seen those devices that are available on Amazon, which dispenses oil and also has like red light things that come
yes,
out of it?
Oh, yes, I have seen those.
Does it work?
I'm sure, like, again, it's just more about that effort of doing your scalp. If that's going to get you to do that on your scalp, mm-hmm. then it's working already, you know. The red light's not going to work. It's going to lead a lot of time to help stimulate. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you wear the red light mask on your face, you're wearing it for a period of time. Mm-hmm. But this, you're just putting in the area for a couple of seconds. It's not getting enough time on it. But sometimes I've seen them with little massage kind mm-hmm. of devices, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lovely. Anything that's going to create blood flow. So just touching your scalp with anything, with any tool, is going to help with that blood flow.
Do you recommend like trying to massage your scalp every single day.
Yes. And if you're not in the shower, so even just shampooing massages your scalp.
Okay.
So that's already enough to help stimulating or to help stimulate. But there's a method called scalp over skull, which is where you take your hands and you're just moving the skin on the scalp like that.
Yeah.
And that's creating blood flow.
Oh, that's, I love when someone touches my head.
Oh, me too.
Like, it's like the best thing ever. My favorite thing. Like, it's so relaxing. Yeah. And, you know, now there's science behind it. So,
well, there absolutely is. And if you also breathe very consciously while you're doing it, you're actually getting that blood flow there as well and bringing down cortisol levels. So, all of this working together. So, when I first started in a salon in Ireland, almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy. We were a shiatsu scalp massage salon. So
Wait,
we were doing,
amazing.
I know, it was incredible. We had the proper beds that you lie down. It was very state of the art. And we were doing scalp consults.
Uh-huh.
We were doing scalp treatments. We were doing all of this like nearly 20 years ago.
Wait, do you have a place in LA or New York since you're like, since you live there that does like scalp care? Like,
is it, yeah, there actually, there's a few, and I've seen them on TikTok out in Queens. There's also one Upper East Side that I went to one time. Oh, I think it's actually just called Head Spa, maybe. I'm not sure of the name. Sorry. I'll find it out for you, but it's really good as well.
You liked it?
I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a very long process. So like, it's like going for like a full facial or a full massage.
But honestly, amazing. Like sometimes it just, it sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
Okay, how often should someone be brushing their hair? Is it an everyday thing? What are your thoughts?
Depends on how brittle your hair is. I brush my hair every morning and I like to stimulate the scalp as well. So we have a very good brush that just has little fine teeth in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just notice that when I wake up, when I brush my hair out, I just feel it like getting blood flow to the scalp as well.
Mm-hmm.
But not you don't need to brush your hair numerous times a day or anything. But yeah, just untangling it, just getting a little bit of blood flow to the scalp is always really good.
Awesome. Okay, another question is, why do we need a shower filter? And should we get one even if the water in the area that they live in doesn't have hard water?
Yes. And I don't know if you guys know, but we launched our shower head filter. This happened because I was living in Mexico during COVID and I started to notice my hair was like so different, the texture of it. And I was like, what is this? And I started researching it. We were getting a lot of DMs at the time because a lot of people moved cities. And then I obviously realized that, you know, this is an issue for a lot of people. So that's to do with hard water.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to a shower filter, it's not necessarily just hard water. It's also the other contaminants that are in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So in New York, I don't know if you've ever tasted the water in a restaurant or at home. It tastes of chlorine. You can taste it straight away. And they have to put that in it to keep it safe for us, to keep it clean. There's and what that does is it results in drying out the skin on the scalp and the hair. New York is quite soft water. So this helps kind of like, you know, get the lather better, things like that. But with the filtering system, it's filtering a lot of contaminants, a lot of heavy metals, sometimes contaminants like that, you know, like copper piping, things like that, that would affect the color of your hair. So if you're blonde, you're noticing it like either a coppery tone or brassy tones to it, or maybe a greenish tone. It's typically from the water as well.
So I'm actually going to add to this. So when we first moved to LA, so we're from Toronto, we moved to LA, and my husband has like very sensitive skin. So he's like prone to eczema. He has psoriasis. And immediately when we moved here, he started getting like the gnarliest eczema breakouts. Like he had all of a sudden, like all this dandruff or dry scalp. I don't know which is which, but like it was really, really bad. And then we added a shower filter and we started having like water, not from the tap, but like a filtration system.
Yes.
Everything went away. Yeah. It was crazy.
It really does make a difference. And like we filter the water we drink.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're in the shower probably like, you know, for a good 15, 20 minutes each morning. Your skin is your biggest organ. So that's actually like really getting into your system.
Yeah. He like refuses to ever live without a shower filter.
Yeah.
It's like a necessity in our household.
Oh, me too. And just the whole experience is really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It like changes everything.
Yeah.
Okay. What can someone do about hair thinning during perimenopause or menopause?
Okay. So there's two types of hair loss that you can get during menopause, mm-hmm. and perimenopause. The first one being genetic, it's called androgenetic alopecia. And this is typical in both men and women. It's called female and male baldness pattern. Mm-hmm. And in women, your parting starts to get wider. So here mm-hmm. starts to widen. You still have hair, mm-hmm. but you're starting to see the scalp a lot more. Mm-hmm. So it's not like around the hairline. It's not in the crown. It's always in this area when it's that type of genetic hair mm-hmm. loss. And in men, it's actually or the hairline and the crown. Mm-hmm. That's how you can kind of differentiate it. And then the other type is just natural aging hair loss, which is the hair just starting to get a little bit thinner, maybe prematurely graying. It's becoming a bit more brittle as well. And like I mentioned earlier, it's because we're losing moisture and there's also a lot of different hormones happening, different hormonal imbalances that are affecting it. Mm-hmm. So lots of different things. So yes, again, consult with your doctor. Make sure you're getting the right hormones in your body, right diet, right food, exercise, all those things, drinking plenty of water. And then just really kind of like taking care of your scalp. There are things that can really help. We actually have a stem cell collection that was created around that to help women go through that period of time. Also, people after a postnatal hair with postnatal hair loss mm-hmm. or other kind of hormonal imbalances, because they need a little bit of extra love. So we have our stem cell serum that was our hero product. It's been out for about 3-4 years. And it's for kind of like just everybody to strengthen the root, to get that cell turnover, keep the skin on the scalp healthy and help with hair shedding. But then we have a 3% stem cell peptide treatment that we launched with a stem cell collection. Mm-hmm. And it now has growth peptides in it. It has caffeine. It's got ginseng. And wow. This is a spray. And if there are...
Do you spray it on your scalp or your
spray it
hair?
On your scalp.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the shower, spray it on the scalp. It's a very watery solution. It dries in very easily. But if you pair it with, say, the stem cell shampoo as well, you instantly start to feel thicker and fuller, even at the root, because it gives you so much volume and it plumps out the hair. And then the peptides working together with the ginseng is all stimulating. So it's really creating this healthy blood flow to the scalp. Mm-hmm. And it'll give you that bit of extra volume. So even just to kind of like hide a bit of the, you know, loss of hair for a little bit, because it's giving you that extra volume as well. It makes your hair just feel instantly thicker. But so you do need to use any kind of hair, you know, a regrowth kind of like hair product like that mm-hmm. or regrowth product like that for at least 90 days to mm-hmm. see a result.
Yeah.
It's like the skin cycle is 28 days, but with the hair cycle, it's actually 90 days for you to see that new hair growth cycle.
Wow. I mean, first, I need these products immediately. That's what I'm going to do is go buy them. Like, I'm not going through that right now, but I feel like I can be preventative, yeah. you know?
Plus, I look pretty in your shower.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what are your thoughts on PRP for hair loss?
Okay, so when I was trying to be a trichologist, mm-hmm. one of the things that we went through was, so we were trained in microneedling, so we can microneedle for the scalp and trained a lot of like red light therapy and how important that is. But one thing that was mentioned, and I'm not a doctor, so, you know, just take this as you please, but it can cause scar tissue. So mm-hmm. there are really incredible results by it, but then there are also some scar issues. And when you have scar tissue, then the hair doesn't grow back ever.
Wow.
So if it's not done right, you can have other issues, you know.
But you like microneedling.
Microneedling's incredible, really, because what it does is it splits the stem cells. It sends messages to your body to create more stem cells. So it speeds up the recovery. So your hair grows 1/2 inch per month. Mm-hmm. And that's if you're taking care of your scalp, if your diet is perfect. Because most of the time, people's aren't, so the hair is growing at a much slower rate. Mm-hmm. But the only way to scientifically make your hair grow faster than 1/2 inch per month is through dermarolling, microneedling, and these products.
So do you do it on your own or do you go to someone to do it?
No, you do need to go for microneedling to a trichologist or a dermatologist. You can do a dermaroller at home, and we do sell a dermaroller, uh-huh. and it's at 0.25 millimeter, the uh-huh. needle. So that is safe to use yourself. Mm-hmm. And we're also launching a derma stamp, which mm-hmm. can make it easier for people to use. But my advice is to use it like if you've got a lot of hair loss around here or mm-hmm. very obvious hair loss, you would dermaroll in that area, but just making sure it's not in areas where you have thick hair.
Okay. Okay, but if you go to a professional, they can do the whole scalp?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. And then they can use ingredients like growth factors, set you on a program of what to use. And then they have a very intense red light therapy. So not the ones that you buy at home.
Okay. Do I need to go to a trichologist?
You do not. You have no hair loss issues.
No, but just in case, like, you know.
No, you definitely, you're fine. I think if you're doing like an oil treatment, scalp oiling, stimulating, shampooing, stem cell serum, you're good.
Okay.
And
okay.
I know your nutrition, your diet is perfect. So
yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, this is just, it's so fascinating to hear like what people can do for their hair.
Yes.
Like it's because it's a sensitive subject to a lot of people. And like, you know, if someone starts to lose hair, then it's like a whole thing. So it's very cool that there's so much out there that people can do.
And consistency is key. Like it is with everything. You do have to do this daily to see results. And really, it has that compounding effect then if you are doing it daily.
Okay, last question. Does anything over-the-counter actually work for hair loss / do you recommend any over-the-counter pills for hair loss?
So minoxidil is FDA approved. It's also clinically proven to help with hair loss. And what it does is it creates that blood flow to the scalp. And you have to use it consistently every single day. Mm-hmm. The only issue with minoxidil, we know it works, but you do have to use it for the rest of your life. Unless you're like, say, going through a short period of time of hair loss. Mm-hmm. But because of the delivery system, it has to be delivered through 80% alcohol. So what that does is it has another negative effect, which we find a lot with, products with drugs in it. Mm-hmm. You'll have, you know, it'll help you with one thing, but it might cause something else. Mm-hmm. And so we would never recommend, like, say, if a client comes to us or a customer comes to us asking us, I'm using minoxidil, would our stem cell serum work instead? Absolutely no, we would never recommend that. We would recommend that you use them in conjunction with each other. And the reason why the minoxidil, you obviously, you've been, you know, prescribed that by your doctor, or I think you can buy that over the counter, right? Mm-hmm. The stem cell serum will work really well at hydrating the scalp and taking down that inflammation. Mm-hmm. So it'll work to kind of like counteract those issues that you're having with it, you know?
Amazing. This has been so fascinating. Tell everyone where they can find you.
So you can find us on actinacre.com. We also are at actinacre, and my personal Instagram is at Helen Reavy.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved the episode and feel like it brought you value, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review. It takes 5 seconds and really helps the show grow so I can keep bringing on awesome guests. If you want to follow me behind the scenes, you can find me on Instagram at Sif Hyder. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. I drop new episodes every Tuesday, so come hang with me and shoot the shit with some really smart people, learn and unlearn, and have a lot of fun. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.